Morning, church. How y'all doing? It is great to be with all of you. It matters that you are here. And to kick us off, I have a few exciting updates for all of you. The first off is we just went through Operation Christmas Child. Anyone participate in here? Yes. We had 58 volunteers, 92 boxes made in-house. We collected 245 boxes total. And in the greater Metro Detroit area, there were over 36,000 collected. And we just wanted to say thank you. Thank you all who served and participated. And I wanted to give a special thank you to Jess Bransky. Is she in the house? Right there. We thank you, Jess Bransky, who orchestrated our drop site and then went above and beyond to make this happen. Can we give her a hand? Another update that some of you have been anticipating and waiting for, longing for, is we did a $20 Sunday on October 6th, and we gave $6,000 to New Life Ipsy from this church. Yeah. We saw over $3,000 come in on that particular day, and then we've had a ton of generous people giving to church planning over the years, and we were able to do a matching gift from that to give $6,000 to New Life Ipsy. So excited. Thank you all for your generosity and your passion for church planning here. And then finally, we in December, this is historically an important month for our tithes and offerings as a church. And over the last 2 years, we have sent out two churches. We've seen H2O in Kalamazoo get launched, H2O Church, and then we saw New Life Ipsy just this fall, 2019. And in between those, we also sent out a team of missionaries and workers to Canada who got Zoe Church up and running, ministering to college students in Toronto. Is this crazy or what? It's amazing. And this sending is beautiful. It's good. It's the Great Commission being lived out in our midst. And as a result, we knew from all this sending that we were going to need to reduce our own budget here at New Life. So we did that. We decreased it by $1,000 or $2,000 a month, somewhere in there. And that said, it has still come in a little bit lower than we were anticipating. We're staying within our means in that realm, meaning whatever we're bringing in, that's what we're spending. We're not going above and beyond. We're going to be looking at adjusting budgets going on for the rest of the year. And we couldn't be more excited, though, about the work that God is doing in and through New Life Church and here in Ann Arbor. But that said, we usually see 30 to 50% uptick in our giving, end of the year giving in December. And so I just want to take a moment and invite all of you into that. We would ask that you would give. Pray before the Lord, how would the Lord invite you to give generously to this church in this month? And for some of you, it could be the first time and you give $20 to the church and you go, really, $20? Yeah, everything matters. And it builds a habit. It builds a pattern of giving back to the Lord and what he's doing. Some could do 100, some may do 1,000. There are people in this room, your stage of life, you could probably do a 5-digit gift. Whatever it is, would you pray before the Lord? And no matter the gift size, what I want you to hear is this. That any gift given joyfully unto the Lord and his church is a delight to the Lord. It advances and is necessary for his kingdom. And it helps the local church continue its kingdom work and impact in the local community. So would you prayerfully give this month, however the Lord leads you? Of course, you can give in bowls on Sundays, the boxes in the back, online or through the app. And in addition to that, we'd love for you just to be praying. That God continues to provide for his church as he has, because God's doing amazing things in and through this church. Is he not? That's awesome. All right, let me pray before we transition into our message. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each and every person in the room and those who couldn't be with us who are going to be listening to this online. God, I pray no matter what's going on, it is the holiday season. There are finals that we're coming into. There are stresses abound. There are things to plan for, events. There's travel. There's gift shopping. Lord, there's reminders of celebration and even pains in each and every one of our stories. Lord, I'm not sure what we're bringing into this moment, Lord, but I ask that you would help us be present, and Lord, that we could connect with your presence. Lord, we ask for you to speak this morning in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I personally love the Christmas season, the time of year. I loved it growing up. It was a time where I get to dream about what are the things I want, what do I long for. Anyone remember a Sears wish book? Did those ever come in the mail? We would get those. I would take that with a pen, and I would circle just about everything in it, all the things I longed for, and show my parents this is what I want. Or today and age, they don't send those out. Sears doesn't even exist right now, right? So that's a thing. I know it's a bummer. I saw Amazon kicked out a catalog. That's cool. But like my niece and nephew, they don't do the catalog thing. They just do it online. They send me a list. Here's everything. And there's like links. Anyone? Is that kind of where you're at? But how many of you ever got something or you didn't get what you longed for? Anyone? Raise your hand if you longed for something growing up at Christmas and you just didn't get it. Yeah, that was me. Or sometimes I would get it and it just would be a little bit different. Like we didn't have a ton of money, so I didn't always get name brand everything. Like one year I just wanted the Nerf blaster. Give me the Nerf blaster. And instead I got the Power Popper. And it was cool, it functioned the same way. It didn't look as cool, it didn't have the name. You know, it wasn't in the commercial. But it still worked. But there was just kind of a longing unmet. How many of you ever got what you longed for? Anyone? Anyone ever get one of those? How many got what you longed for, and then it actually was just not quite as satisfying as you thought? Anyone? Yeah, that happened to me a few times, where it just came up lacking, it was unsatisfying, unfulfilling. And we're in the second week of this Advent series. We're looking at peace and what it looks like through Jesus' first coming and his second coming. What does peace look like? And my hope is to connect you a little more with just how satisfying and fulfilling Jesus is. And so to lean into this, I want us to first understand what does a biblical peace look like? There's two words in Scripture for the word for peace. In the Old Testament, it's shalom. In the New Testament, it's erene. In the Old Testament, it means complete or whole. In the New Testament, to join or tie together in a whole. It can mean that shalom is like the absence of war, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. So it's not just an absence of something. So for instance, if there were rival kingdoms made shalom, it wouldn't just be that they would stop fighting. It would be that they would then work for the mutual benefit of each other. It has this connotation of a lot of complexity, lots of pieces that are in a state of completeness. And if you're missing that, it's to get shalom is to bring together, to complete it. It's kind of like that puzzle where you finally do 1,000 pieces and you're missing one. You know that feeling of longing you're missing? Where is it? You're ready to tear the house apart or the cottage. A lot of times I find people do puzzles at cottages for some reason, which is probably why they're missing pieces. All that to say, it's the puzzle together with all the pieces, that is the picture of shalom. And when life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. To bring shalom means to make it complete or to restore it. And we know in the Scripture, the story that we have started in the Garden of Eden, and it was perfect. And then there was the fall, where Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, they disobeyed, and shalom was lost. It was no longer perfect between humanity and God. And honestly, each and every person has been turning away from God in our own ways since then. And what's interesting is that wasn't how God wanted the story to end, that he always had eternity in mind, and he had a plan of how to help us get there, of how he could take this brokenness, this incompleteness, and bring wholeness to it. And his plan was always that it would involve himself, that he was going to bring in to the shalom. And in the Old Testament, we have this passage in the prophet Isaiah. 2,700 years ago, this was spoken, 700 BC. The prophet Isaiah is speaking this, and it's revealing how God is going to do this, which was so crazy to think of. He says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us," talking about Jesus. "The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom." You catch that? I've read that so many times, especially at Christmas, and I forget that it is shalom. It's not just peace, like it's just fleeting or whatever I have in a moment. It's literally wholeness. The Prince of Shalom was going to come and come as a child. And this is what he was doing for us. And what's so amazing with this is as he continues on, this next verse, "His government and its peace will never end." It's speaking of it's going to be everlasting. It will go into eternity. That what happened in Eden, I'm going to bring my shalom to bear in a way that it brings my shalom about now and continues forever. And it says, "He will rule with fairness and justice and from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." And get this, how is this going to happen? It says the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. It's his passionate commitment to bring this about, his shalom for all of eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity in our heart, yet we can't fathom all he plans to do or has done. That longing for eternity in each and every person on this planet, that's longing for that missing piece. And God gave that to us to long for him, that it would be met and fulfilled in him, that he is our shalom. It's not just for Eden, it's for all of eternity. And this is a quote I encountered the other day when it talks about passionate commitment. The author Michael Card says, "The degree to which I am willing to enter into the suffering of another person reveals the level of my commitment and love for them. If I am not interested in your hurts, I'm not really interested in you." I'm going to say that first part again. "The degree to which I'm willing to enter into the suffering of another person reveals the level of my commitment and love for them." And we talk about the shalom of God and what he wants to bring for us, the Prince of Shalom. I want you to hear his commitment for you, his love for you, again today. Because the Isaiah the prophet, further on in his book, he reveals this, which is described as a suffering servant. And he says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" Talking about Christ. "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground," saying that this isn't just going to be God coming down fully grown. He's going to be grown up. He's coming as a little one. And then it says, "There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Each and every person can be read into this passage that we've all turned away. "Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could have shalom. He was whipped so we could be healed." Do you see that? The phrase "so we could be whole" is shalom. That's the word there, the Hebrew word. That God was so interested in you, in your hurts, in your needs, your longings, that Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, came for you. And then he died for you. They made a movie out, The Passion of the Christ, his passionate commitment. I don't know why that's funny. It's biblical. He died for you. That's his level of passionate commitment, so much that what you lack, I will nail to the cross so you can have my shalom. And the question I have is, what do you long for in this season? What do you long for? Because some of your longings are good. They actually point back to even needs, things that we really actually need that are good, that we have longings. I encountered this yesterday, these 10. Do you long to be affirmed, which is overwhelming approval of? Do you long to be desired, especially chosen, with no pretense necessary? Do you long to be included, wanted in this group, this team, or partnership, to belong? Do you long to be loved, unconditionally accepted? Do you long to be nurtured, cared for, held? Do you long to be purposed, filled with a sense of profoundly mattering? Do you long to be rested, recentered and reset in mind, body, and spirit, including having fun? Do you long to be safe, unafraid, trusting everything is under control? Do you long to be seen, noticed inside and out? Do you long to be unique, delightfully special? We all have longings that point back to these needs and these longings that come out of this. And often we will run after things in place of what we will actually fulfill it, like in a Sears catalog or online, Amazon, or on Facebook or social media, quick hit. We run after so many things
to fill actually these deeper longings. And I'm not sure what it is you long for in this season, but I can assure you that whatever part of your soul, your identity, your worth is tied up in longing for something, it will fall woefully short apart from Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom, and he is the only place where you will find true peace and wholeness. Your shalom is why he came. Your shalom is why the Prince of Shalom came the first time, and it's why he's coming again. The story of Jesus reveals so many instances where Jesus lived out this title of Prince of Shalom. And I want us to look at just one story where he is abiding in shalom while those around him do not have it, and then see how he brought his shalom to bear in that situation. And you're going to see people in this story who what they're experiencing is a longing to be safe and to be seen. And they're questioning. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Luke chapter 8. Before we put it up there, this is happening on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is in northern Israel. It's a freshwater lake. Did you all know that it's the lowest freshwater lake in the world? 700 feet below sea level. Random, crazy. Just be a place where Jesus hung out a lot. At the widest points, it's 13 miles north to south and 7.5 miles across. It was kind of a bowl shape. You could go out on this lake calm as could be, and because it's close to the Mediterranean, the way the winds would come across and then hit this bowl, it would just turn into massive storms, and waves could kick up and all this craziness. And so in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is there by the Sea of Galilee, and he says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Not an uncommon thing to do. So they got into a boat, and I want to stop right there because most of you, I don't know what you think about a boat. The boats on the Sea of Galilee were more like a 15-passenger van. That's what you should think. 15-passenger van is about 22 feet long, 6 feet wide. The boats they would cross in were 26 feet long, so like the little, you know, the point on the end is probably makes up your extra feet, and then an extra foot and a half across. So if you've ever been in a 15-passenger van, try to travel for a long distance and get any kind of rest, that's your experience in this boat. Now take that van, take the roof off, put it on a lake, and bring a storm. You're going to get a sense of what's happening here. So they started out, and as they sailed across, check this out, Jesus settled down for a nap. Some of you right now, the only thing you need to take away from today is you're tired. God wants you to rest, go home, and take a nap. I'm serious. I'm not even joking. I took a week off a couple weeks ago. It took me 4 days, 4 days to where my mind settled down to where I could enter into the presence and shalom of God. That says a lot about me. I know it. I'm in counseling. That said, some of you just need to take a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. I love how it says real danger. It's not like, well, I used to work in the outdoor adventure field. We talked about real and perceived danger. We would take people up in a ropes course 30 feet up, and they're terrified. And we're like, it's all perceived. You're hooked in. You're totally fine. But then there were those moments where we see the danger and we are not going to freak out because they're holding both carabiners in their hands, which means there's nothing clipping them in. And we're like, hey, how you doing, John? Yeah, if you could just hug that pole, stand up, clip that carabiner. You good? All right, get the other one. Good? Cool. A moment ago, where were those carabiners? In my hand? Eyes huge. They're like, they finally get it. And in this moment, these are fishermen who fished on this lake, a lot of them. They understood real danger. When it says real danger, I think they understood it. And their eyes are not like, I don't know. I think it's like eyes wide open. This is real. This is happening. And where's Jesus? Yeah, he's sleeping in the 15-passenger van without a roof. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. So they have a longing of like safety. And also the other pastor's like, do you not even care about us? I mean, they're like, you don't even see us. You can't. Your eyes are closed. You're sleeping, which amazing. I mean, we know Jesus is amazing, but the dude can nap in that? Come on. That's amazing. The disciples went, they woke him up, they're shouting at him, "Master, Master." You can imagine this scene, it's crazy. And there's other boats with them. I don't know if they're in earshot or not, but they're like, "I don't know what's going on." And then they wake Jesus up. Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. I don't even know what that looks like. He rebukes them. And suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. And then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the winds and waves obey him." And so you got Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, literally embodying shalom in the boat, totally at peace in a crazy situation. He is catching some Z's. There's a verse that we pray over our kids every night. It's Psalm 4:8 that says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." And when I reread this passage, I connected with that on a whole new level, because that's David praying that, and I know his crazy life, and then I see, oh my word, Jesus lived this out. That here in the midst of a storm, he's lying down and sleeping in peace, total peace. Prince of Shalom, total shalom. They wake him up, and what's he do? "Oh, you're lacking some shalom. I'll take care of that." Calm. How many of you need that in your life right now? Wondering, can you have it in your life right now? The thing they did that I want each and every one of us to do is that when it got crazy, and we don't know how long that took. I mean, these are fishermen. They could have been like, "I ain't waking them up. No, we got this. Come on, we're fishermen." They could have been like exhausting themselves to get through it. And then finally, reluctantly, they go wake him up. The other thing that's interesting is disciples followed the rabbi. You're supposed to do what the rabbi did. Could you imagine that scene? "Well, he's sleeping. Let's try to go take a nap." I mean, he rebukes them, right? He ends up saying, "Where is your faith in the midst of this?" I think there's a huge lesson for us in this, that he brings shalom. And they went to him. They went to the Prince of Shalom. That's the connection piece. Is will you go to the Prince of Shalom in your life, no matter what's going on in your life today? You see, Jesus is not what we're looking for and everything we long for. Most people, when they encounter Jesus for the first time, he's not what they're looking for. I, in my own life, I was not looking for who he was or who I thought he was as a high school student and as a college student. And then as I've learned to trust him and follow him, I found out he is everything I ever longed for. Everything I ever longed for and more. He is available to each and every one of us. You get Jesus. You get the Prince of Shalom. And the beauty for us is he's not in the back of the boat. He's not. Jesus himself said in John 14:27, he said this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled and afraid." He's given you himself. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the one to be with us. He literally embodies. The Prince of Peace is giving you himself, his shalom. Elizabeth Elliot said, "I don't know what you're going through, but I know the one who knows." And I would add to that, where you lack peace in your life could be the place or situation in which you experience God and his presence more this Christmas than ever before. If you're willing to go to the Prince of Shalom, with whatever it is in your life, that longing, that unmet longing, the thing that you thought would be and it just hasn't met, if you can trace it back, what is the real longing in your life? And can you be real about it? I mean, these are fishermen on a boat. They're freaking out in real danger. They need to be seen and safe, and they go to the Prince of Shalom. He sees them, and he makes them safe. And for some of you, you're like, "I don't know, it's not enough." I want you to read the rest of the chapter. Seriously, read the rest of chapter 8, because this is, he crosses the lake, he does this, he brings shalom on the lake, he gets to the other side, and he ends up bringing shalom to a demon-possessed man. Crazy story. He brings total shalom to this guy. The city doesn't like it, so they say, can you leave? So he crosses the lake again, which can you imagine, the disciples, here we go again. They cross the lake in the 15-passenger van. They get to the other side, and then he brings shalom to a family that just lost a 12-year-old daughter and a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years of suffering. This is all in the span of one day, the Prince of Shalom, moving and acting as people engage him. Will you go to the Prince of Shalom in your life? Jesus is not what we were looking for and everything we long for. He's everything you long for in your life. I promise you, if you will go to Jesus, and that is my encouragement to each and every one of us in this room, that in this season, no matter the events, the things we could go for, even if God provides for a longing or a need in your life through something or someone, can you look through that and past it and see that that's actually Jesus meeting your need, meeting your longing, even if it's through people or things? Can you connect with his love and his commitment for you? That is why he came. That is why we celebrate his first coming. And that's why we anticipate his next coming. And that's what I love about this whole story. Because Jesus could bring the total shalom and calm the storm, which is really what we know is going to happen when he comes again. There'll be no more tears. He's going to right all wrongs. It's going to be amazing. But in the meantime, when there's storms kicking up on the sea of life, you can still connect with him and have shalom in the midst of it. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for each and every person here. I thank you for this message, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Shalom, that you are the little one who was born and brought to us. God, I thank you that you lived this out. And I thank you for the story of what it was like to see you in total shalom on a boat and to bring that to bear on the circumstances around. Lord, I pray that we could see ourselves as the characters who come to you and experience your peace in the midst of our life. Lord, I pray that we would lean into just that in this moment. In your name, Jesus, amen.